When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
You can have the first word.
Hello.
You didn't really get it though, because I gave it to you when I said you can have the first word.
You're still mad about that one show.
No,
one
I
show
just...
where I started, and you just can't get over it.
No, I get over it. I'm over it. I'm just making sure that you never forget it. That's all.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for inquiring.
I like to check in on you. Sometimes, you know, I get a little I like to keep my eye out for you.
Okay. And how are you
back?
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hanging in there?
Yeah, very much so.
How's the new year treating you so far?
Very good, thank you.
You cautiously optimistic?
Yeah.
That's how I describe my approach to 2012. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. No, I'm taking some steps forward. Made some commitments to things I want to do.
Oh, like what?
You know what it is? It's
what is it?
The biggest thing I got to do is I have to clean out my parents' home. And it's and I put it off. I put it off for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
Cuz every time I start, I have to lie down, you know, and I just went, "Janice, you have to do it. You have to." And I've come to a place where, you know, those treasures that were my parents are not my treasures, and it's very weird.
So you're having a hard time getting rid of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Letting them go. Like, some people are really cool. They can just go in and go, toot, toot, okay, get the sisters and the brothers, and let's clean the place out. And, you know, and some people like myself, it's torturous. And so I'm making
it. Well, you feel guilty about it?
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, you're like, what are you doing wrong? I remember my grandmother, when she died, I was 10 years old, and they brought her suitcase home. I was so, so close with her. Mm-hmm. They brought her suitcase home, and I don't remember this, but I remember her clothes smelled like her. Mm-hmm. And my mom said that I crawled in her suitcase with all her things. And, you know, she said it was just the most pathetic thing on the planet. I had that suitcase until I was, I want to say, mid-20s. And I had a cat who was peeing on the suitcase. Yeah. And I got to the point where I was like, I don't know what to do. I honestly thought maybe it was my grandmother sending a message to me through the cat, like, let this go. You've got to let this go. Because the cat was like, suitcase, uncontrollable urge to urinate. It was so bizarre. And I was like, I've got to get rid of this. And it was, by the way, not salvageable. I had to throw it actually out. And I had, you know, my keepsakes from her, but, and it was weird at first. It was like, I'm throwing away this part of her. But then I realized it's like, okay, and then I ended up having actually this wild dream a few years later. And I don't know what it means. I can't propose to have any answers, but I remember from 10 to 27, she wasn't in one dream. And I used to say, my God, why am I not dreaming about her? How is that even possible? Like, she's not even in my dreams. I never see her. I was 27 and I was going through a really hard time. And it was when I was going through that transition of leaving ICM, leaving becoming an agent or having been an agent. And I mean, I was lost and I fell asleep on the couch and I had this dream. And to make a very long story short, my grandmother was there. And as she turned around and she looked at me, and I mean, she looked exactly the way I remembered her. Like more crystal clear than a picture. I could see the, she's going to kill me right now, but the pencil on the eyebrows. And the whole thing. And she looked at me and she was like, we see each other every day. Like, let this go. Because I just couldn't, I couldn't let her go. And I remember, and I woke up hysterically crying and I called my mom and I was like, I saw grandma and she came to me and she said, you know, we see each other every day. Like, I'm always with you.
That's so powerful.
And I realized that they do, they live in, they, and it seemed kind of cliche when people say, oh, they live on within you, but they really do. And they don't live on, in those things. We keep the things that have meaning, but it's powerful to be able to let that go. Mm-hmm. And I think you're letting that guilt go. It doesn't mean you're letting your parents go or you're disrespecting them. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, and that's so tough for people who go through what you're going through, who have taken care of an ailing parent. And it's brutal, man. I remember Maria Shriver told me that she called her generation, you're younger than her, but the crunched generation. It's like the generation that had kids and was taking care of the parents. And it was just, I mean, being, mm-hmm. being spread so thin, and it's tough. And I remember also my mom once said to me, this is going to sound also ridiculous to people, but you will get this. When I lost my dog, Baxter, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, I know you get it because I know what you went through with Ellie, your dog, Ellie. It was the worst thing in the world. Well, not the worst thing in the world. People have been through much worse, but I was destroyed. I looked at my little brother and I was like this, should have been you. I mean, I was kidding, obviously, but I was like, you realize that I spend every waking moment with this dog. Like, I woke up to the dog. I went to sleep with the dog. I ate with the dog. I moved with the dog. The dog had been with me through all the hardships. The dog never judged me. I lost my dog. I was wrecked. And I was just like, oh my God, what's going to happen? I'm just going to get old and everything's going to die. What is the point? In one of my more positive moments, as we all know that I have. And my mom had said to me, you know, sweetie, the point of life is to make new connections, the ability to make new connections when you're ready. But she's like, that's what life is about. It's about being able to cherish these things and honor them and appreciate them and hold them within you to make them who you are, but also to have the ability to reconnect and to make these new connections. So, you know, I waited a good amount of time, and when the time was right, I fell in, you know, I rescued another dog. I rescued a bunch of dogs and ended up with two of them at this point now. But you yourself finally got another dog.
Millie.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's I think another reason why I want kids is it's like it's time for a new connection. It's time for the next chapter. It's time to pass on that knowledge or to evolve and to grow is to sort of say, okay, you know, my parents are getting older and I think I want to have this new connection, but it could be friends, it could be dogs, it could be anything. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean that you're dishonoring the past. I have last analogy here. Today, amazingly, I had a Christmas card that I somehow missed, right? And before I arrived here, so I opened up the Christmas card and it was from Abby Reiche, who was my contestant on season 8 of The Biggest Loser. And she was probably one of the contestants that impacted me the most. She had lost both of her children and her husband in a car accident.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, my God. It was the worst. Yeah. I can't even tell you. I couldn't even every single day. I would just go in there and want to die because it was my worst nightmare. Well, I looked at this Christmas card, and on it was a collage on the front of it of Abby and moments throughout her year of 2011. And there's her running a half marathon in a tutu, right? I swear to God, of course. There's her laughing hysterically at a speaking engagement, because it would say speaking engagement, half marathon, and you'd see these pictures. And there's her getting remarried. And there's her with a brand new baby, and it was her new niece. And all of these various pictures of her living this, oh, God. And there was her with her new book, right? On the cover of her new book. And there's her living this very rich, happy, healthy life. And I just thought, oh, my God, who is this little spirit that was able to rebound from this and find meaning in this tragedy that she experienced, and to go on and continue to live and find joy. And that's what it's all about, because we're all going to have setbacks and losses, and it's not about feeling guilty or like we have to pay the piper or live in a constant state of grief. We don't, and nor would our loved ones want that from us. Hence my grandmother saying, let this go. You know, I'm always with you. And I guarantee that your parents feel the same, and our dogs had felt the same. And for everybody out there listening, I guarantee that anything that you're holding on to or feeling like you can't let go out of guilt or obligation, that your loved ones wouldn't want that for you. They would want you to form new connections and to continue to live a rich and healthy, happy life. And stop using it as an excuse, because that would piss them off. Janice. Yeah. All right. Well, you wasted my first segment, so we should take a break.
I knew I was going to get pegged for this. I knew it.
I got to do it. I got to now regroup.
Why don't you put a little more of that chapstick
on? Put my chapstick on.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was so good. Turn her off before she sticks it up her nose. We'll be right back.
People stare at the makeup on his face. Laughter is loud.
We need to snap it up here.
Well, okay. I was going to talk about this new thing called MBE, Mindful Based Eating Awareness Training. Is that not?
That's not snappy enough.
Oh. Okay. I was also going to talk about, like, quote, sneaky stuff. Like the sneaky stuff on food label. Was it?
No, snappy like as in active.
Are you tap dancing?
Well, I mean, just snappy. Snappy like
snappy.
Something fit, like a fitnessy. Fitnessy. God, listen to me. You got something. What's going on?
Fitnessy.
Like, have you got something coming out?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, a shameless plug. Yes.
Do you seriously?
I do. Yeah, I do, actually.
Oh, I was just kidding.
Oh, my God. I should have actually thought to talk about that. Giancarlo would kill me. Okay, so should I talk about
it? Yeah, talk about it. Well, if as long as it's snappy.
Fine,
if it's not snappy,
well,
then.
I'll make it snappy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because we need something.
No, it's snappy. Okay, right. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So, the program, the product is called Body Revolution, and it's a 90-day extreme weight loss program. So it's like my first kind of sort of like a I don't want to say P90X, but it kind of is like a P90X, like a 90-day program for extreme weight loss. It's 15 DVDs, 15 workouts.
Wow.
With a 90-day meal plan. Huh?
Yeah.
Is this snappy enough for you?
No, it's good.
Okay.
As long as you keep your voice high.
Okay.
His
voice is up here.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. So with all my other DVDs, they were always like one-offs, you know, like total body workouts. But with a total body workout, you're never able to give somebody a weight loss system, because you're just trying to give them the best bang for their buck. So it's like, here's a total body workout. Here you go. You know, you get your DVD with your workout and what have you. But that's not a weight loss system. That's not where you're able to truly train them the way you would train them if you were training them to lose weight, or like what I would do on Biggest Loser. So Biggest Loser was usually, we'd have a 3-month season and then we'd have a 5-month season. But what I did was I took everything that I would do with my contestants on The Biggest Loser and put it into a workout system and a diet program, and it's called Body Revolution. But what we can do to talk about it is talk about the techniques that I utilized with the fitness plan. So Here's the science. Okay, well, so we'll talk about the workouts, right?
Yeah.
So the science behind the workouts is metabolic training. Now, metabolic training is a principle that I put together based on a host of different fitness techniques that I utilize to get the most out of my exercise regimen. Okay. So maybe we'll go through them. Huh, Janice?
Okay, that's snappy.
All right, so let's start from the beginning. First thing I like to do, and I've mentioned this before on the show, is something called optimized muscle splits, okay? And what this means is that we train certain muscles on certain days. So what you want to do is you want to train a muscle twice a week, okay? More than twice a week overtrains the muscle. So studies have shown that when you train a muscle twice a week and you give that muscle 2 days of rest in between your training sessions, you get the absolute most out of your fitness regimen because you're maximizing recovery and you're maximizing the actual work time on the muscle. Okay. So the way the muscles are split, I like the push-pull splits. I like to train muscles with the same function on the same days. And the reason for this is, let's say that I did chest on Monday, right? But if I do shoulders on Tuesday, well, whenever you do chest, you're usually working shoulders. So for example, if I did push-ups or chest press, well, you're recruiting shoulders. So if you do shoulders again on Tuesday, you're actually working that muscle 2 days in a row, which inhibits its recovery. So it's not optimal. Make sense?
Okay.
Okay. So we train chest, shoulders, triceps Monday and Thursday because they have the same function. So they work together naturally. And because I like to use a technique called peripheral hard action, which means that we train upper body and then lower body back to back in our exercises, it shunts blood back and forth between the upper and lower body. So if you're doing chest, all the blood is going up to the chest to support the muscle. Then we go down to quads and all the blood's going back down into the lower body. Well, by shunting the blood, you're elevating the heart rate and you're elevating core temperature. So you're boosting the amount of calories that you're burning while you're working out. And the intensity that's created by peripheral heart action also helps to increase what we call your afterburn or your continuous burn, mm-hmm. which means it elevates your metabolism for hours after the workout's over. So the splits are optimized. So we've got peripheral heart action. So we've got chest, shoulders, triceps, quads, Monday, Thursday. And then you've got back, biceps, glutes, hamstrings. And of course, abs are split between the two on Tuesday, Friday. And then you've got cardio in the mix. Now, every 2 weeks, the program progresses you because every 2 weeks, you should be changing your regimen. So every 2 weeks, I change all the exercises and the intensity becomes progressive. So it takes somebody like a Biggest Loser contestant off of the couch. And by the time the program's over, it turns them into extreme athlete. Just like Biggest Loser contestants are running a marathon, same thing. And of course, throughout the program, I have modifiers for beginning people who need to start out even easier, or modifications for people who are more advanced, who can step things up along the way if they're ready to progress beforehand. So we've got the optimized muscle splits and the peripheral heart action. And then we, of course, incorporate something called high intensity interval training or HIIT training. And this is when I work cardio intervals into the circuit, because I also do circuit training. So a circuit is when you take a series of exercises and you perform them with no rest, and then you repeat them and move on. So that's a circuit, right? So we also incorporate circuit training. And the benefit behind circuit training is that we never allow the body to stop moving.
So in between the intervals, you're moving.
You're doing chest, but then you're doing legs, but then you're doing a cardio interval. So you might be resting the muscle, but you're not resting the body. So like you'll see somebody at the gym and they'll do a set of lat pull downs and then they'll wait.
Yeah,
and then a set of lat pull downs and then you'll wait.
Play with your iPod.
It's wasted time. Exactly. And it's terrible for your metabolism. So circuit training, we do, let's say, a set of rows into a set of lunges. And then we incorporate our intensity interval, our cardio interval, and we might do something like mountain climbers, and then we'll repeat again. Rows, lunges, mountain climbers. Then the next circuit might be something like Supermans for, of course, the back of the body into, pelvic thrusts for glutes into plank jacks for a cardio interval. So you see that now you've got the circuit of one exercise after another. Mm-hmm. So even though the muscle you just trained is resting, you switch to another muscle. So the heart rate stays elevated. The body continues to work. But you also incorporate that cardio interval in there to really jack up your intensity. And the great thing about high intensity interval training is that it allows you to condition your body to work harder, but without getting an injury. Because most of us can't sustain a high level of intensity, we'll get hurt. But what this does is it elevates core temperature, it boosts heart rate. So by bumping that intensity, we burn more calories during the workout, as well as long after the workout is over, because it increases our EPOC, exercise post-oxygen consumption, continuous burn, a.k.a. afterburn. And it conditions our body in these little stints because our body goes, oh, my God, right? Like, you can't run at 10 miles an hour for longer than 20 seconds. But when you put that, well, maybe you could, but let's say hypothetically,
right,
you do it for 20 seconds, you put that demand on your body. It's called stress adaptation response. Your body goes, holy cow, I might need to do this again. And, of course, it begins to adapt so that you can run faster for a longer period of time. So
faster,
that's where,
stronger.
Exactly. Better, longer. Right.
Better, longer.
Better. The whole shebang. So that's where the HIIT training comes into play. Now, you've got, on top of all of this, core-based functional training. So when you hear that, what that means is we're not artificially isolating muscles on a machine. I can actually train you better in your living room than I could train you on gym equipment.
I was just going to ask you, this is all for home?
All for home, yeah, with a pair of dumbbells. And it comes with a resistance tube as well.
Cool.
Because I needed the 15 workouts. I needed the flexibility. I needed something other than, I wanted to keep it totally fresh and different. So none of the moves repeat in every one of those workouts. Mm-hmm. So it comes with a resistance tube and dumbbells. But I like to use body weight training. Because what it does, when we talk about functional training, it means that you're training your body in the way that your body naturally functions in the world. So, for example, if you sit on a leg extension machine, right, you're never going to lock your legs into a machine and isolate your quadriceps and extend them on one plane, right, straight in front of you and back.
Right.
We are multidimensional human beings. We move laterally. We bend down. We move diagonally. We're synergizing our hips, our glutes, our quads, our core. That's how we function. So your training should be based on the way your body works naturally. Your muscles should have to synergize because, of course, it burns more calories while you're doing it. And you should be moving in a very dynamic way on multiple planes. So core-based body weight training that's functional, most efficient to get you your most fit, help you stay lean, flexible, and functional. Then we get into something called combo lifts and hybrid lifts, all right? So combo lifts are where you start out where you've got, let's say, a squat press. So you hold your weights right at your shoulders, you squat down, you stand up, and then you press. That's a combo lift. Two moves, one into the other. Another example might be a lunge and a curl. So let's say you lunge, and at the bottom of your lunge, you curl and you come back up. That's a combo lift. Now, the cool thing about a combo lift is that little muscles in your arms, those don't burn any calories when you work them because they're small. But when you incorporate those little muscles with big muscles like legs, then you're getting maximum calorie burn. Because you've got multiple muscle groups working at the same time, which requires a tremendous amount of energy. Fat is nothing other than stored energy. Of course, elevating heart rate, elevating core temperature, and we know what this does, burns more calories while you're doing it, burns more calories after you're doing it, and allows the body to be more functional because it's synergizing. Then, as you progress, you start to do, from combo lifts, what we call a hybrid lift, where you perform both exercises simultaneously, not one into the other. So what I mean by this is a combo would be a squat, stand up, press, right? A hybrid is squat and press same time. So as your butt is lowering, the weights are going up into a press. So you're squatting and military pressing simultaneously. That's a hybrid lift, where you're lunging and curling simultaneously. Get it,
Jane?
There's a lot of science, but you wanted something snappy. I mean, people can listen and they can incorporate.
When can I ask you a question? Can I insert, or do you want me to wait to the very end?
No, go. What's the...
Well, are there people helping you in this? Like, or do you have other people working out with you? What? Or is it just
is
you?
Is she on another planet?
No, but I mean...
Backup dancers.
Well,
there's backup exercisers.
Have they all been picked already? I mean, is this already done?
I just said it's coming out now. What do you mean, have they been picked?
Well, I would like to... Can I be a helper? I'd like to be one of the people in the background.
You'd die.
No, I think I would be pretty... I think I would like to be in the... At least one of them. How many do you have? Why couldn't Jake and I be part of the...
Yeah, we want to be on your workout video.
You'd die.
Well, what do is it because what's okay?
Let me clarify why you would die. Here's why you would die.
Because you do it over and over.
We
and
do
over.
It over and over and over again. So here's how tough these people actually are. I got to give credit where credit's due. So if we're shooting 3 workouts in one day, right? So we had to shoot 15 workouts. So we would take, okay, let's incorporate some of the beginner workouts with some of the more advanced workouts. So we might shoot like 1, 8, and 12 on a Monday, okay? Well, each workout's a half an hour, and we had to shoot each workout twice. So they did 3 hours of exercise plus retakes.
Mm. I have to think twice about that. Really?
Yeah.
Next time you do an exercise regime like this, and you don't have to do retakes, and you only tape it once, I would like to be one of the people behind you.
You can be one of the people, but I'm telling you right now, you have to then do the whole thing. I can't have you in and out and in and out.
No,
it's
like
a continuity problem.
No, if I get tired, I'd like to be able to have a chair to sit while you continue. If I get tired, I'd like to sit down and just fold my arms and just go, carry on.
No, you can't do that. You're either going to do... No,
no
you
but
have
that's
to be
reality.
Aspirational.
That would be reality.
No, that's not reality. I'm very clear that I can see through their television, and if they push pause or stop and sit down and say, carry on, then I will break through the screen and beat
and
their ass personally.
And you know, I wouldn't put it past you to up with something that they have to wear you would zap them.
Oh, what do you think the Body Media ArmFit band is? I have that device. Yeah, that one's coming. Oh, that's coming out too. Oh, how about that?
Oh, this
straps on their arm and I can track everything that's going on. I get a 2-way interface and I can yell at them if they're not doing everything I say.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of cool.
I know it.
That's very cool.
Technology, bitches.
That's
really cool.
I know, right? Yeah, I just got back from that Consumer Electronics Show
where
I was talking with the big shots. Justin Bieber was there.
Ooh.
Bieber fever. And me.
Well, besides Bieber.
And Snooki, but that's okay.
There's something strange about the three of you together.
Well,
you,
we weren't together,
Justin Bieber, and Snooki.
Well, they were backup dancers in Jillian's video.
That's exactly right. And not a one of those punk asses said carry on. Janice.
Well, I'm just saying that one day, I would like to be one of the people behind you.
Yeah.
And I promise I wouldn't do any rabbit ears behind your head or
fine.
All that stuff.
Sure.
I'd be very...
Well, the next time... All right. Well, I release 3 standalone titles a year, so you get your little tap dancing shoes on.
I'm going to buy some new Lycra shorts.
I really don't think you know what you're getting into.
And
are you sure?
I'm going to pull them up really high.
Please don't do that.
So they'll go... Look at the old bra behind Jillian with the moose knuckle.
Oh God, don't do that. That's the worst thing ever. No, don't do that.
I'll say, you know what, that tape was really good, but God, that jig.
No, don't do that.
She needs a G rating.
Yeah, Janice, what are you doing? This is when she starts talking about having one of the you know what's in the down dog position.
I'm just saying.
You're molesting our listeners.
I think it would open things up for people to
see. You would destroy my fitness legacy.
With a moose knuckle.
No,
dancing behind.
No, I don't think you understand. I am a phenomena in this category. No. I'm a fitness god. You'll ruin me.
I think it's time to bring you down to a level. And I think having me behind you in a bright pink Lycra shorts
would ruin my career. That's your goal?
Oh, God, that just brings such joy
to my
heart.
Oh, my God, no, but I want to warn everybody that Janice is, in fact, not in the body revolution. And,
so, yes, buy it.
Please buy it, yeah. Please proceed without fear, because it is totally safe.
Oh, God. That just excites me so much.
Oh, dear God.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. And I'm going to hold you. I'm going to phone your business partner and say that you've already hired me as dancer number 2. The one direct, not 1 or 3. 2. The one directly behind you. Yalakala. That'll be me.
What's yalakala?
I don't know. Whatever music.
Are you like doing?
Whatever. Jive.
I wish this was a video podcast.
Well, yeah.
Right.
I think we really should rethink that, actually, now that Janice...
Oh, she's not wearing her pink shorts. It's okay.
Well, one day she will. Oh, God, that'll be the end of it.
I'll wear moose antlers just to accentuate it.
Okay. Jake, I'm going to suggest that you turn us off.
No, are you finished with your snappies?
Turn us off, Jake.
With your snappies?
Now is the time to turn us off. You should do this now.
Well, she's walking through the clouds with a circus mind that's running around. Butterflies and zebras and moonbeams and fairy tales. That's all she ever thinks of. Riding with the wind.
Okay, we are back, and Lisa is waiting to talk to you.
Of course she is. Hello, Lisa.
Lillian, what an honor.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Thank you for calling. What's going on?
Well, lately I've been thinking about America's mentality towards fat.
Okay.
And everywhere you go, it's low fat, reduced fat, fat free, and it's viewed as the enemy. And I've been thinking about the French diet and how everything is full fat and fresh and natural and small portions. And when I think about trying to find the best diet for me, I'm trying to find that balance and where you keep the good fats and what are the bad fats. And, I mean, when I eat chicken and salad, I feel great and healthy, but I'm hungry 2 hours later. So where's that balance?
Such a great question. Okay. Let's tackle this first off. Let's start with the fat, good fat, bad fat conversation. So God, I actually thought we'd grown out of the fat makes you fat thing. I thought that was a Susan Powder debacle circa 1991. The truth of the matter is that calories make you fat. Not fat. Fat doesn't make you fat. Calories make you fat. Calories are a unit of energy. And when you do not use that energy, it gets stored as body fat. So no matter what you're eating, whether it's a sugar calorie, a protein calorie, energy from those macronutrients, if it doesn't get burned, it gets stored as fat. So it's not fat that makes you fat. And in reality, we need healthy fats. They are a main source of nutrients, quite frankly, and fuel for our body. So when you look at the three macronutrients, which are protein, fat, and carbs, we need healthy sources of fat. And that would be things like olive oil, almonds, avocados. You've got saturated, unsaturated. Even coconut oil, it's a big misconception that coconut oil is bad for you because it's, quote, saturated. It's not the case. It's actually a medium-chain fatty acid, which is less prone to be stored as body fat and promotes having more energy. These kinds of fats are necessary for all kinds of different bodily functions, from actually supporting heart health to providing you with more energy to boosting immunity, I mean, insulating your brain. I could go on and on and on and on about this, but we need good fats in our diet, okay? So the key comes down to, oh, hold on, let me address bad fats. Saturated fat is actually not the enemy. In fact, many current studies will suggest that we need a certain amount of saturated fat in our diet. It was once believed that saturated fat was linked to heart disease, high cholesterol, but more of the current research and studies are showing us that it's actually diets that are very high in sugar and simple carbohydrates that are what is elevating our cholesterol and causing heart disease. Our bodies produce cholesterol. So even if you're not ingesting cholesterol, you can produce cholesterol. That's why genetics comes into play when it comes to heart health. And we do want a certain amount of good cholesterol as well. So people get kind of confused when you think about eating an egg. Oh my gosh, it's got cholesterol. Well, the truth of the matter is it also has healthy fats and good cholesterol in it, which helps us lower the bad cholesterol. So I don't want people to worry about any fat that is natural, whether it's saturated or unsaturated. Don't worry about it. Let me rephrase that. I never want to see you eating hydrogenated oils or trans fats. Those are the fats that are bad. What that fat is it's a man-made fat. We hydrogenate it. We add a hydrogen atom to the fat, and that makes it a preservative. It functions like a preservative, and it doesn't decompose on the shelf. That's why you could leave, let's say, a Twinkie on the shelf through an apocalypse, a friggin' nuclear war, and it would still be sitting on the shelf 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. It's because of trans fats and other preservatives in there. But when you ingest those trans fats, they don't decompose on the shelf. They don't decompose on your body. And if just 3% of your daily calorie allowance is trans fatty acids, you're upping your risk of heart disease by 23%. So if you think about it, if you were eating, let's say, 1,800 calories a day, well, okay, I mean, you're looking at about 60 calories a day from trans fats, which isn't even 10 grams of fat, and that ups your risk of heart disease by 23%. That's pretty serious. Wow. So that's the fat you never want to eat. Now, all the other fats I don't want you to worry about, I want you to worry about the quantity in which you consume them. Does that make sense? So what I'm trying to say is calories make you fat. So what you need to understand is that fat has more calories. So, for example, a gram of protein or a gram of carbohydrate has 4 calories. A gram of fat has 9 calories. So if you eat too much of anything, healthy fats, lean chicken, you name it, if you eat too much of anything, too many calories are going to make you fat. So I want you to then start ingesting these healthy fats, healthy carbohydrates, healthy proteins within a daily calorie allowance. Okay? I want you to count calories, not fat grams. Make sense?
Definitely. Okay. Those friends know what they're doing.
That well, means- hold on. Hold on. I'll get to that in a second. So if you're eating, let's say we give you a daily calorie allowance on the days that you're not working out. I'm not quite sure if you're trying to, are you trying to lose weight or just maintain?
Just maintain.
Okay. So let's say we put you at around 1,600 to 1,800 on the days you're not working out and 2,000 to 2,200 on the days you are. In that case, I want you to eat real food within that calorie allowance. So as long as it's not hydrogenated or processed with preservatives, artificial colors, flavors, sweeteners, MSG, HFCS, all of that, I want you to avoid those chemicals, those fake fats, those processed grains, and I want you to work on hitting your calorie allowance, not counting grams of fat. Now, when it comes to the French, very interesting that you bring this up. So I actually recently got back from a trip to Paris, and I'm telling you, I mean, all they eat there is stuff like foie gras and ham and eggs and veal and beef and more eggs and cheese and more cheese and wine and bread. And I mean, I was in hell because I don't eat pretty much any of that, right? I mean, I'm like, you know, every menu is like ham, foie gras, and veal. I wanted to put a gun to my head. I don't eat any of it. But what I ended up, so I ended up eating more beef than I normally do. As I usually only eat grass-fed beef like once every maybe 2 weeks. But I ended up eating more beef, more cheese, a lot of eggs. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm going to come home as big as a house. And I was like, I'm going to be a giant. And I came home and my friends were like, dude, have you lost weight? You look really thin. And I realized a couple of different things. Number one, we were walking everywhere, and mm-hmm. that was extremely helpful because you got to remember that even when you're standing and not sitting, you're burning 1.5 times the amount of calories. So if you spend your – Janice just stood up. So that's one of my tips I use for people at the office because it's like, what can I really do at my desk? I'm like, you can stand. That's what you can do. You'll burn 1.5 times the amount of calories just standing. So I was on my feet all the time because we were traveling and I was walking around. So that helped. But in addition, you're absolutely right. I was eating these fattier meals and I wasn't hungry for hours. Whereas at home, you know, so for example, we'd eat lunch, right? And I'd be like, I guess I'm going to have the beef and the cheese plate again. Oh, my God. I wanted to kill myself. I was like, excuse me, garçon, beef, s'il vous plaît, et fromage again. And I mean, it was just like, we'd eat lunch, right? We'd eat lunch late, probably around two to three. And then you take a little siesta. We'd go home and we'd nap.
Well, yeah, you just...
Oh, my God. You're just sitting with a brick in your set. But, you know, I mean, it's like... But you go home and you... Because they don't eat dinner there, though, until 10 o'clock. Right. So you're like, well, what am I going to do? We better knock ourselves out because we got to get all the way through to dinner. So we'd go to bed. We'd get back to the room. We do a little more stuff. We get back to the room. We take a nap from like 6 to 8. And at 8 o'clock, I get up and think, oh, my God, I haven't eaten since 3. It's been 5 hours. And the thought of food makes me sick. I'm not even hungry. Mm-hmm. Then we get ready and we'd arrive at dinner at 10 o'clock. And I still wasn't hungry. And I was like, I guess I'll have the beef and the cheese. Yeah, I swear to God, it was ridiculous. I got the beef and the cheese again. And then I didn't eat so much of it because I was like, it was so full still from lunch. And it does tend, you got to understand that the way your body is going to break things down, the heavier the food is, the longer it's going to take you to oxidize it. And which what that really means is break it down and turn it into fuel. Okay.
Right.
So the thing is, when you're eating things that are heavy like that, in some cases, depending upon your metabolism, it can actually cause you to eat less because it fills you up for such a long period of time that you're eating less regularly throughout the day. Because, by the way, the French don't snack. They don't graze. They don't eat all day long, and they don't eat large portions of food. So even though they're eating heavier foods, these are foods without preservatives, without chemicals, without garbage processed ingredients. They eat real food and they're walking around all day long and they're not eating a ton of it. Because at first I thought we've entered into some magic land. I can eat whatever I can eat all this fatty crap here and my butt is getting smaller. I literally was like, I'm never going home. This is amazing until I started to like become, I was like ready to cut an arm off to get a hold of a salad. But I mean, literally, you get a salad over there and it's like a niçoise and it's like drenched in dressing. And anyway, my point is at the end of the day, whatever is going to satiate you, whatever you're going to enjoy more is fine. And whatever you find allows you to eat less calories is fine. You want to hit that calorie target. So the truth of the matter is, even though I was probably eating foods that were higher in calories because they had more fat content and they were heavier, I was eating less of them because it was making me feel so full for so long, and I was eating less often. Then the minute I got home and I started with my egg whites again and my Ezekiel muffin and, and my chicken salad and my, or, you know, what did I have? I don't even remember. I had I had a salmon salad yesterday. And I mean, sure, you're absolutely right. I was by 3 hours, my stomach was screaming. I was so hungry. And so the reality is that whichever strategy works best for you is okay. As long as you follow these two simple rules, no fake food. And that means no chemicals, no processed flours, no hydrogenated fats, no high fructose corn syrup, no artificial colors, flavors, sweeteners, none of that. And you hit that target calorie allowance, you'll be fine.
Well, that is really encouraging because I feel like I stick out every time I go to the grocery store and picking stuff out like Brie cheese, and everyone's walking around with fat-free this and fat-free that.
Lisa's
no.
And as someone who's on the thinner side, you get these looks like, how does she do it? And I felt healthy and want to keep doing it. And
no, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you were somebody that had heart disease run in the family, then you would want to talk to your doctor about manipulating your diet a little bit because your body you wouldn't want to add any bad cholesterol, but it doesn't sound like you do.
No, I mean, my family's relatively healthy, so I would just like to enjoy a little bit of everything.
And that's totally fine. Just keep it as, when you go with dairy, try to keep it organic. That's all, because you don't want the growth hormones that come with the dairy. So if you can, when you go with dairy, try to make it an organic source of dairy and you'll be fine.
Awesome. Well, that is very encouraging. Thank you so much, Jillian.
My pleasure, buddy. Have a great day.
You too.
Look how happy she is. She's like, you too. I can have cheese.
You're an inspiration to us all. I just have to tell you.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We gotta go.
Gotta go.
Wow, you stink.
Yeah.
All right.
You wanted to do
it. I'm forgetting.
You got to do a fresh.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Okay. I forgot. So because it's a new year, for anybody who's making a New Year's resolution, my buddies at Freshology are offering anybody who listens to our podcast a $50 discount. So you can go to www.freshology.com and enter in the code JMPOD, P-O-D, JMPOD50 to get your $50 discount. And what these guys do, they're really cool. It's a fresh food delivery system that is national, and you can customize it if you're vegetarian or if you don't like fish or you don't like chicken or this or that. They can customize it for you. All fresh, no preservatives, nothing artificial. The food tastes amazing. These guys are really incredible. And if it's something that you want to look into, use that code and get your discount. Yeah. What's that mean?
That just means it's lovely. This is all lovely. And now say goodbye. Bye-bye. Once upon a time, I was the hurricane boy. There was no eye in me for you to hide. Hey, love, don't show oceans of eyes. As the waves clap goodbye to sorrow. Dirt is on the mind, feeling that the blood is dead. One was in the mirror, acting out another line. Children in the school.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.